handling ad hoc requests. As we've discussed, the needs of stakeholders may change over time. Sometimes this results in necessary changes to the surveillance plan, but it may also result in an ad hoc request. Ad hoc requests, those that arise based on specific or immediate needs, may arise from multiple sources, including from governmental agencies and from departments, units, or personnel within a facility. Key point, not all requests can or should be complied with. Even non-mandatory requests from governmental agencies may not be possible to comply with unless additional, unplanned resources are allocated, which results in the reduction of resources available to complete other tasks. The leader of the IPC and/or surveillance program must rely on their judgment to determine whether or not the priorities of the program can still be adequately achieved while complying with ad hoc requests from any source, and whether the situation renders it more important to comply with the request than it is to maintain planned surveillance program operations. In the end, the health and safety of everyone within the facility or community should take absolute priority in these situations. With that in mind, the surveillance program should be designed with the understanding that these requests will arise. Resources should be assigned to respond to these requests, and the program should be designed with flexibility to promote the ability to support requests that go beyond those resources to whatever extent is possible. With the above in mind, it is not realistic to plan to fulfill every ad hoc request made. Saying no may be necessary but difficult in some situations. It is important to rely on good communication skills and strong, data-based reasoning, whenever possible, to explain the decision to not comply with the request. It may be necessary to involve other stakeholders or members of leadership in these discussions to validate and strengthen the decision in the face of resistance to the rejection of the request. The risk assessment is also a useful tool to assist in communicating with both internal and external stakeholders when requests are made. It may also be useful to record ad hoc requests so that requests that commonly arise may be addressed through future adjustments to the surveillance plan. We will now discuss the common sources of these requests in more detail. Departments/units and internal personnel requests. In most cases, the needs of departments or units and other internal stakeholders should have been accounted for during the planning stages of the surveillance program. Many other ad hoc requests from this level would be related to outbreaks and investigations. However, situations in which ad hoc requests arise, unrelated to outbreaks, may occur. In some situations, such as a physician or surgeon looking for data specific to their personal performance, which the surveillance plan does not gather, these requests may not be worth fulfilling. However, other situations, such as a department requesting surveillance to detect multiple drug-resistant organisms, EMDR-OS, may arise as well. These requests may ask that surveillance cultures and/or other microbiologic tests be used to monitor the incidence, prevalence, and transmission of EMDR-OS such as methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, MRSA. For this purpose, the use of active surveillance testing, AST, may be indicated to identify colonization of patients and residents with EMDR-OS in select populations in non-outbreak situations. Agency requests. As referenced elsewhere, there are rules and regulations that must be followed by healthcare facilities with regards to the reporting of surveillance data. At least with regards to disease surveillance in the United States, systems are passive in nature. Healthcare providers and laboratories proactively report unusual or reportable conditions to health agencies. In some jurisdictions, there may be opportunities to participate in non-required surveillance data reporting that is not covered by regulations. These often stem from local or regional health departments seeking more proactive surveillance information than is required by law. Additionally, during outbreaks, governmental agencies may request information that is not associated with normal reportable conditions, especially as part of governmental syndromic surveillance activities. Because of this, the leader of the IPC or surveillance program must stay up to date with current events and determine if a new outbreak must be reported, and if not, whether they are able to gather and provide other data that has been requested. Additionally, agencies may request that medical facilities participate in contact tracing. Contact tracing is the practice of identifying and monitoring persons who may have come in contact with a person infected with a specific disease, such as meningococcal meningitis or COVID-19, as a means of controlling the spread of communicable disease. Follow-up may involve providing prophylaxis to prevent infection, testing for a disease, and / or instituting isolation precautions or other prevention and control measures. Coordination with the applicable public health department to assess the specifics of a joint effort, including financing issues, can be valuable when a decision is being made on whether to follow up on these requests. Key point: IPs and healthcare providers play an integral role in helping to control the spread of infectious diseases, such as COVID-19, by assisting public health agencies with contact tracing activities. As such, IPC, clinical medicine, and public health are closely intertwined and interdependent. Individuals who are responsible for managing surveillance programs in any healthcare setting should ensure, when creating the surveillance plan, that sufficient resources are allocated for the surveillance of diseases of public health significance, including reportable conditions, outbreaks, pandemics, emerging infectious diseases, and infections associated with bioterrorism,